There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
We at College Football Live are very grateful for the transfer portal.
Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, Tate Martell, Brandon Wimbush, and now Austin Kendall.
Jalen Hurts has chosen Oklahoma as his next college football destination.
If Jalen Hurts wants to come in, ball out immediately, you go to Norman.
Justin Fields expected to roll at Ohio State next week.
He's a phenom. He's got a lot of talent. There's a reason he was the number one player coming out of high school.
This is the new normal, and I don't think it's a great thing for college football, but it is what it is.
Welcome to College Football Live. Hi, it's been about 2 weeks, but none of us transferred, right? Peter Burns, Brock Heward, Mike Golic Jr. However, that has been the topic of discussion. So, gentlemen, let's get right into it, and let's look at some of the names, right? ESPN has already come out and started ranking where these guys, when they went through the portal, where they are at as far as the quarterback transfer rankings. Jalen Hurts, Kelly Bryant, Jacob Eason. Remember that guy? Was at Georgia for a while, Golic, and now he's at Washington. Fields and Brandon Wimbush, among others. Brock, where do you start? Which one's going to make the biggest impact going forward?
Yeah, I'm most excited to see Jalen Hurts play. And I think that ranking's right there at number one, a guy that won so many games at Alabama that took them to a number one ranking that has carried some of that burden. And Peter, I can't wait to watch him with Lincoln Riley. I think Lincoln's one of the best, if not the best play caller in all of college football. And he's going to have to do it a little bit differently with Jalen because his skill set is different than Baker's. It's different than Kyler's. And I can't wait to watch him utilize Jalen in the running game, the QB running function of that. They got to replace some offense alignment. There's going to be some new pieces, but just the ability of Lincoln and in that system, the flexibility of it, I can't wait to watch Jalen perform.
No doubt Jalen's going to be excellent heading over to Norman. And there's a couple options here. Obviously, Justin Fields and what's hanging in the balance with his potential eligibility for this season at Ohio State in Ryan Day's offense that we know did so much for Dwayne Haskins. But I look at a guy like Kelly Bryant, a proven winner, a guy who we saw at Clemson ball efficiently, maybe not with the top-end production that obviously got him replaced by Trevor Lawrence, but in that offense in Missouri with DeMarie Crockett and the rest of that backfield there, loaded with talent that they're going to have. I don't know. I'm interested on this one. And Peter, I know you're going to be spending a lot of time in the SEC covering this guy. What do you expect to see from Kelly Bryant in this new offense for him at Missouri?
Yeah, he also got Jonathan Nance, the kid that was a wide receiver at Arkansas. He transferred in. And I think this has a lot to do, guys, with Drew Locke staying an extra year because he wanted to see how he could develop under the play calling of Derek Dooley, who was calling plays for the first year. That was a success. So naturally, we'll see if Kelly Bryant can take it to that next level. I'm interested in the guy that I used to cover here, Brock, in the SEC, which was Jacob Eason. He's headed up to Pac-12 country, your neck of the woods. That could be a perfect fit in a guy that, heck, we forgot about almost for a full year.
Yeah, he stands about as tall as the Space Needle here behind me in the picture, and the expectations are about just as high here in Seattle. It's amazing. Jake Browning was the biggest winner in Husky history. He has every record. I don't think it will ever be written out. He will sit at the top of all of those because he was a four-year starter. But people are really ready for that Jake to move on and this Jacob to come in, and they're totally different players from what I know being around the program a little bit and listening to those, you know. Ignorance is bliss at times when you play quarterback. There's times you can be paralyzed, paralysis by overanalysis. I think Jake Browning got to that point at times and in stretches, and Jacob Eason's the exact opposite, man. He wants to come in and wing it all over the field. I think that will be refreshing to an offense that returns just about everybody, minus Miles Gaskin, and really high expectations for Mr. Eason in town.
Absolutely, and plenty of protection for him up front, too, which I think is going to be important for a lot of these guys. You look at Jalen Hurts walking into that situation in Oklahoma where they lose four of their five offensive linemen from the best line in college football. Not going to be the same case for Eason, who should have nothing to worry about up front in Washington.
Another one I should look forward to, Hunter Johnson. Remember, he was over at Clemson. He transferred going to Northwestern. That's one to keep an eye on. But are we going to look at and keep an eye on this? I mean, should we be concerned that this is kind of, quote, the new norm of college football is the transfer portal?
I don't think so. I think it ends up being a net good for a lot of not only college football players. We've hammered that point home. But think about college football fans in general. You mentioned Hunter Johnson and Kelly Bryant, two of the names we've talked about, would have been sitting behind Trevor Lawrence now through all this. Instead, we get more talent on the field in more places, which is better for everyone as a whole.
And Peter, I think we just get used to it. You know, I think this feels a little bit to me like the one and done in college basketball. And everybody's got an opinion about it. And some people like it. Some people like Tony Bennett say, nope, I'm going to have 4-year guys. I'm going to go down that road. I think in this day and age where everything is out there, all the information is there. The recruiting starts for many of these top guys while they're still in junior high. So you know what you're getting. Buyer beware. If you want to take on some of these quarterbacks and in particular some of these quarterback dads that can be even bigger divas than their sons, and you want to bring that into your program, that's what you're bringing in. You are, and especially at these programs that are not recruiting, they are selecting at Alabama, you're selecting at Florida, you're selecting at Ohio State. You know what you're getting. There's no victims to me in this day and age. So if you want to do the one and done and you want to go down that road and build your program that way, well, I think there's no victims. You have that choice and opportunity.
Brock, the only thing worse than quarterback father and sons or sports radio father and sons, those guys are the absolute worst. The worst, right? How about Daniel Jones, the MVP of the Senior Bowl? Well, hey, Will Greer was there. We also saw Drew Locke. But, hey, that young man went, 8 of 11 for 115 yards, one touchdown, and ran for another. So, listen, I'm not going to lie, guys. This is a historically weak quarterback draft. When it comes up to it, Brock, how far will Daniel Jones go, especially now that he kind of has, I heard Peyton Manning height and people talking about him already.
Yeah. Well, he's worked with David Cutcliffe, and that's where I think the natural comparison is. When I watch him, it's amazing. You see some of those Manning fundamentals. I think personality-wise, he's a little more Eli than he is Peyton. He's a little bit more laid back. I think there's going to be some that want a little bit more presence out of him. But as far as his skill set, as far as elevating everybody around him, as far as taking the Duke to bowl game after bowl game after bowl game, he's accomplished an awful lot. He'd probably be my pick in this class. Like you, Bernsie, I don't think this is a great class. I wouldn't bet the farm on it. I wouldn't bet my legacy if I was a GM and say, this is my franchise guy. But if I had to right now in January, as we walk through this process, I think Daniel Jones would be my guy to lead the program.
Okay. Well, going forward from that, Golic, do you agree with that this is a weak class, or is it Kyler Murray? Is it Dwayne Haskins? Can somebody really kind of amp and change that going into April?
Well, you know, I just saw a picture yesterday from the Pro Bowl of a few quarterbacks there, and Mitchell Trubisky and Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, who joked that they came from a weak quarterback class. So obviously this group is going to have to be a prove-it group a lot like that. I think Dwayne Haskins is still the number one guy for me, but it is a weak quarterback class, and that's why a guy like Daniel Jones can move up so much, because as Field Yates, one of our great scouts here in the ESPN NFL side, once told me, we draft traits, not production in the NFL, and maybe the production didn't match what people would want out of a quarterback taken in the first round, but the traits are all there.
I know that there's a lot of people around the NFL, especially around Denver, that are hoping Drew Locke falls to the Denver Broncos. That'll be interesting. I don't know who picks him, but someone's going to be crazy enough to do it, right? Kyler Murray, I'm glad he's going to be declaring for the NFL. I don't want to stop watching him play football. But bigger concern, Brock, is it more about him going eventually playing baseball, or really his, quote, his size being, 5'9 on a good day?
Yeah, you know, Peter, I think it's his size, but I would actually spin it a little bit more, even from the height. I think it is just the body type. You know, he's going to get lumped into the guys that are 6 feet and under. He's going to get lumped in there with Russell Wilson, even Baker last year, a little bit over 6 foot. But he's a different guy. And from some of the scouts that I've talked to and some of the people that I've listened to, it's not even the reservation of whether he's 5'9 or 5'8 and three quarters, 5'9 and a half. It is that weight. He is not a 200-pound guy. He is a slight guy. He's a small. I saw him in person this year. I mean, he is a smaller frame guy. And can you take the pounding at 190 pounds, Golic? I think, to me, that'll be one of the biggest questions, and certainly one all of these evaluators are digging into.
Absolutely. You already wince anytime your first round quarterback gets hit, but when he's a guy with this kind of frame, and Russell Wilson's a great comp because I think both of these guys do a great job of making hits glancing blows. You rarely see Kyler Murray take a direct shot. The difference is Russell Wilson, thick joints, thick lower body, all these things that I don't think Kyler Murray has right now as far as his physical maturity in this process. He played behind a big offensive line. I don't worry about him finding windows, making throws, but absolutely every hit is going to be a test of just how far down this smaller quarterback rabbit hole we can go.
I would imagine it leads us to our next segment on the after the commercial break, which is going to be calm or concern, because I know the A's and whatever draft class they have will have a little calm or concern about them. All right, what do we see about Bama, Michigan, and Clemson next? That comes up next on College Football Live.
College Football Live is brought to you by Advil. You'll ask, what pain with Advil? And Ally Bank. Do it right.
I can't stop with my ambition like a missile on a mission. I'm a force that you will dread.
How about them Tigers, man?
Forty-four 16. That really was the final score of that game. Although for the Clemson Tigers, they lose a lot on defense. And according to Todd McShay, Dexter Lawrence, Christian Wilkins, Cleveland Farrell, and all of those guys ranked in the top 20 for the NFL draft. All right, it's time for a little calm or concern with Brock Huard and Mike Golick Jr. along with Peter Burns here. All right, calm or concern? Let's start with you, Brock. Clemson losing 7,000 guys to the NFL draft this year.
Yeah, I think this one's a little bit of concern. And Peter, it's not even about the talent. To me, it was just about the manhood. Those were grown men on that defensive line. And, you know, we were just chatting during the break there. As far as a positional group, I don't know if we've ever seen a positional group better in college football. Certainly in my memory banks, the Nebraska defensive line years ago with Wistrom and Rucker and Christian Peterson, they won a national title. But this Clemson group was so close. They bonded together so well, and to me it was the grown men right there at that defensive line of scrimmage that set so much of that tone.
Absolutely, but I'm going to go calm on my side just because they tend to at Clemson reload with more grown men on defense. And I know I saw one in particular. I was standing next to Marty Smith on the sideline of the Cotton Bowl, and he said number three, Xavier Thomas, is going to be a flat-out star for this team. Brent Venables is the best DC in college football. And oh, by the way, they'll be able to lean on that offense while this group grows into who it's going to be, much in the same way Alabama's defense did at the start of the year with Tua and that juggernaut offense in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence was okay. I'm glad you brought up Alabama because I was going to lame through all the coaches of that change. I needed a full screen. I needed a graphic from our research department. These are all the guys that are left. I can't imagine the amount of moving trucks that were paid. Some easier than others. Dan Enos headed back to Miami as the offensive coordinator. I think Nick Saban's still searching for him right now. Golick, calm or concern? Alabama with those five coaches gone.
I'm actually concerned here just relative to Alabama's normal standard. I mean, they're coming off a title game where they got waxed in a way that we're not used to seeing. And the standard in Tuscaloosa is a national title every single year. And at some point, this kind of turnover has to matter, especially in my mind, up front with Brent Key and that great offensive line, and at quarterback with Dan Enos, a guy who was so talented that you had a backup quarterback and Jalen Hurts stick around because he wanted the opportunity to continue to grow with him.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Mike. I would say concern, not really for me on the defensive side, a little bit more on that offensive side. But let's face it, you know, and Bernsie, you know this, covering that conference, this is just standard fare. I mean, they steal from one another, as right. Tennessee did from Georgia with Jim Chaney. We see so much turnover. It's not like you can recruit against it because there's not one program that has tremendous stability.
This is just the Aaron nature Rogers, of the conference. Remember Aaron Rodgers would say, relax. R-E-L-A-X, I think that's how it's spelled. Yes. Okay, relax. They got the number one recruiting class, four of the top five receivers, and the guy that was the runner-up for Heisman. They'll be okay, all right? Just relax. Now, I don't know if I can say that to Wolverine fans, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to upset you right now.
College Football Live is brought to you by Ally Bank. Do it right.
All right, we've been off for about 2 weeks here in College Football Live, so we've been watching a lot of documentaries, getting a lot smarter. How about the Fyre Festival? You've all seen it, right? Just in case you don't know what it's all about, this was this unbelievable festival that was going down to the Caribbean, thrown by this guy by Billy McFarland. All these great names, these music acts that were going to show up until they didn't, and it became an absolute disaster. I mean, you knew as bad guys when Blink-182 was like, whoa, Golic, I'm not even showing up for this thing, right? That's when we knew it was a little bit of a tip-off.
Between that and the sandwich, we knew it was all going south from there.
Hey, this is what Brock actually eats over the West Coast. I think he's vegan like that. That would have worked out good for you, right, Brock?
Right.
That fits into the meal plan?
Yeah, sure.
All right, no. So I asked this question on Twitter, at Peter Burns ESPN. I said, what is the Fyre Fest of college football? Golic, you were way too happy to jump in on this, so tell the public what you thought.
I mean, I think Lane Kiffin would seriously be the only person we could bring up who would think the Billy McFarland comp was a compliment at this point. You look at basically every stop along the way, but hell, Tennessee even matched the color. You had the orange tiles going out. We're going to be singing Rocky Top. It just fit too naturally for this guy.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, really. You go back to Oakland Raiders, to Tennessee, to USC, and now down at FAU. But Lane does not mind mixing it up. I mean, I think that's the one thing about him through all of those stops. He's not necessarily been apologetic. You know, I don't know about the whole group with the Fyre Festival. They ever even apologize, Burnsy? Because I don't think Lane really minds too much.
No, I was going to say, and just like Billy McFarland, Lane Kiffin probably owns a jet ski that when things are bad, he just takes off on it. How about Miami football? Because honestly, Miami football last 2 years have been kind of a Fyre Festival. But let's be honest with you, had Fyre Festival actually been pulled off, that would have reminded me, Brock, of like the 80s, 90s with Michael Irvin, Miami Hurricanes, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. Those guys, likewise, have a wonderful time partying. They did not mind mixing it up. Those were the dudes that had all the rolled-up jerseys back in the day. And actually, my brother played down there, the old Whammy in Miami. Damon was the quarterback when he broke their streak. And I remember Damon calling me and saying, after they like had a walkthrough the day before, he's like, man, I've never seen anything like this down in South Florida. These guys are a whole different breed. But yeah, this year, a little bit disappointing. Not even a little bit, a lot disappointing. As ultimately Mark Richt decides to step away, Golic.
Yeah, the turnover chain was like the hype video for Fyre Fest, and then what we got on the field in their bowl game was a little more like this year. What about the game of the century, Peter? I feel like this falls right into this category.
Wait a minute. This is close. How was this? I mean, that was a great game. That lived up to the hype, right? Come on, it was, listen, 9-6, and you were pregnant with fear that the game was going to come down to any one of those plays, Golic Jr. And by the way, it was the last time LSU actually beat Alabama, so I think that's one. I'll go with you. You played for Charlie Weiss. I mean, if you're going to hit me where it hurts, how about the Charlie Weiss era?
Wow, we really had to go there. Charlie Weiss went to 2 BCS games, I will have you know, all right? In the Notre Dame era since Lou Holtz, that was unparalleled success for up at the time. Coach Weiss is my guy. Don't do him like that.
Come on. Hey, Brock,
hey,
have Burnsy, you ever seen?
Hey, Burnsy.
Yeah.
Did LSU cross the 50-yard line in that game they won 9-6? I'm trying to remember between the two.
Yes, they did. That was a national championship game, okay, that they didn't cross the 50-yard line. All right.
Played between kickers.
Gotcha. Oh, you're going to rip LSU for bad postseason big games. What about the guy sitting over there to your right? That's Mike Golic Jr. played for Notre Dame. It always happens.
Wow.
We'll be back tomorrow at 4:30. More yelling on College Football Live.